All right. Hey, okay, week four of Challenge Accepted. Who, has anybody had a difficult month? See, it's kind of what happens sometimes when you start preaching about things, they start happening that way. That's why you got to be careful what you pray about. Because when you start praying about things and God starts doing things like that stuff, and it gets a little, you just got to be careful. I mean, it's no joke. Prayer is real, my friend. And you just got to be careful. Be careful about that kind of stuff. So here we are in the midst of this, and it's just this message called Challenge Accepted. We've been in the Old Testament, back at that's the left half of the Bible, and talked about this dude named Joshua. Long story short, 400 years, these people, the Hebrews, the Jews, they were slaves. Then Moses comes, Prince Egypt, splits the water, Ten Commandments. And then all of a sudden, the bush and all that kind of stuff burning, but it wasn't burning, but it was burning. And then God rescues all the children of Israel, the Jews. They have so many names. Seriously, like, it's kind of confusing sometimes. But anyway, the Jews, the Hebrews, the children of Israel, Jacob. They're all the same person, people. So God brings them out of slavery, and then he brings them to the edge of the river, and God says, on the other side of this river is this land I've been telling you about, milk, honey. It's all gooey and sticky. All that's just Bible talk, means it's pretty fresh. It's nice. It's good. It's good. Spacious land, beautiful rolling hills, a cow for every man. That's right. A piece of land for every family, white picket fences, the whole shebang. And God says, on the other side of this river is the place I'm giving to you. The only problem is there's already people there. So you got to kick them out. Because they're in your spot. So all of a sudden, it's crazy. There's this huge challenge that God gives him. God says, I've already given you the land. I've promised to you hundreds of years ago, back with Abraham. If you know anything about the Bible, that was one of the number one guys back in Bible heroes. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right on. You guys, you know what I'm talking about? If you don't, that's okay. It's a cool song. We'll teach it later. So God gave this promise hundreds of years ago to this man, and now they're finally on the brink of getting it. Wow. Amazing. My son can't even wait 5 minutes to get a cookie. And here these people wait hundreds of years for this promise. Yeah, it's like there. But the only problem is on the other side of this river, where the promises are, all these people living there. These warring, these mean old meanies. And that's the only thing keeping them from the promise. It's a challenge. Now, whatever your challenge is, maybe your challenge is your mom because she's crazy. Maybe your challenge is your little brother because he's a brat. Maybe your challenge is finals. Maybe your challenge is you don't got enough credits. Maybe your challenge is you don't understand things. Maybe your challenge is an ex-boyfriend. Can I get an amen? Maybe your challenge is an addiction, a habit. There's a challenge that each and every one of us face. Maybe your challenge is waking up on time in the morning, okay? It's just facing yourself and trying to tame the cowlick at the back of your head. I don't know what your challenge is, but everybody's got at least one. And if you don't, that's your challenge. You're lying to yourself, okay? That's your challenge. And the problem is not the challenge, because the challenge isn't the problem. The problem isn't your mom. The problem isn't your credits. The problem isn't your cowlick. The problem isn't the fact that you got six toes on one foot. The problem is when you refuse to accept it. See, a challenge is simply the thing standing in between you and the reward. That's all it is. And the very fact that you have a challenge in your life means that you're, number one, going somewhere. Number two, it means that you're believing God for something. There's always going to be resistance in your life. Always. 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 And the day you find that you have no resistance, the day you find that your life becomes easy, is the day you stop living. It's the day you stop believing for bigger things. It's the day that your life has, it's the day your life will get no better than it is already. You've hit the peak, the pinnacle. You're not going any further. I don't want that kind of life. But in order for me to live the life that God's called me to do, means that I need to accept a challenge every day I wake up. A new challenge, a new challenge, a new challenge, a new challenge. Does that make sense? See, to get a reward requires a challenge. That's just the way it goes. That's just if you want to eat a peanut, you got to crack the shell. You want an omelet, you got to break it open, right? There's a challenge is required to receive a reward. Otherwise, it's not a reward. It's just trash. Something you just picked up on the ground. Oh, I found this. Oh, what is this? Oh, it's trash. It stinks. No, that's just the way it is. This is the definition of a challenge. It's the obstacle between you and your reward. So what is your challenge you're facing? And the second question would be, why have you refused to face it? People every day are running from their challenge. People every day are refusing to face the problems, and they just put makeup over it, and they just pretend like it's not there. And we have to be sick and tired of running from it. We have to be so sick and tired of living away from the reward that God has for us. Because I'll tell you this, you can choose, let's say your challenge is your family. You can choose to have a jacked up family for the rest of your life and wait. Oh, I can't wait to move out. I know nobody in this place has ever thought that. I just can't wait to move out of my house. These people are crazy. I know nobody has ever thought that before. I'm going to turn 18 and I'm gonna get out of this place. I'm going to make my own rules. That's called running away. You can either do that. You can run away from the problem, and the problem will always be there. And it'll chase you, and it'll hunt you down. And then you know what? It's going to find you when you have kids. And then you're going to become the person who's causing the trouble, not your kids. See, or you can do the hard work of stopping, turning around, facing it head on, dealing with it. And then it won't chase you because you whooped it, and you've obtained the reward. That makes sense? I'm just kind of starting to preach on early here, but okay, Pastor Richard. Okay, fine. I get it. So how are we gonna do this, right? I'm glad you asked. See, I want to talk to you guys about something really practical today, because I don't have to convince people in this room that we all got issues and problems. And if I do, you're in the wrong room. Because we all do. We all have something difficult in our lives. But the only way to get rid of it, like I've said before, is to deal with it. So how did these people that used to be slaves become warriors? How did they go from slave to warrior to champion? It was real simple. I mean, they kind of just figured it out in the beginning, and they just did some really simple things. I think that it's almost obvious, but sometimes it's the most obvious things that we miss. You see, I mean, if you're looking in the book of Joshua, you know, God talking, he says, be strong and of good courage. The people, these people, you're going to divide as an inheritance in the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. See, God says, look, this is the land I've promised you, go get it. So Joshua begins to do something about it. He says, all right. Well, here we are, we're on this side, they're on that side. Okay, he gathers all the people, gathers all the leaders, all right, we got to make a plan. We got to think this thing through. See, if you're going to overcome the challenge in your life, if you're gonna stop running, you really got to think this thing through. I mean, Pastor Jim says it all the time, and maybe you've probably heard me say it. You got to make a plan, and you got to work a plan. Come on, everybody together. I got to make a plan. Oh, yo, weak. This sauce is weak. Turn it up, somebody. Okay, everybody together. I've got to make a plan. Thank you. I've got to work a plan. Make it, work it. I don't even care if you spelled that with an E. You just got to make it and work it, okay? You have to make a plan so you can work a plan. If you don't have a plan, you can't work no plan. And brother, you got to work. If you want to overcome it, you've got to stop, slow down, and think it through. I've seen a lot of people, they just kind of, the saying goes this way. The only thing that goes with the flow is a dead fish. The only thing that goes with the current is a dead fish. If you want to go upstream, you got to kick it and move it, and you got to work it, okay? So you have to kick it. You don't got to lie to kick it. You just got to kick it. You've got to work it, and you've got to move yourself. You have to make this plan. Because, see, the first thing they did is they saw this city. They saw this city, Jericho, and they noticed it had huge walls. They said, you know what, look, we just can't go in knocking on the door with pitchforks and torches with this. We've got to know exactly how to approach the situation. So our friend Joshua gets two smart, cunning, good-looking British men, and he says, I need you guys to be spies. And he sends them off, and they go off, and they spy out the land. I don't know if they're British, but that was just a James Bond thing. So he says, I need you guys to go and secretly get into the city. And if you can do that, come back and report to me after a couple days. It says in Joshua 2:1, it says, Joshua the son of Nun went, and he sent two men secretly from a place called Shittim as spies, saying, go view the land. Let me know what's out there, especially the city of Jericho. They went in, they came into the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they lodged there. And all of a sudden, it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, the men of Israel have come here. They've come here to search out the land. You see, Joshua did what any smart military leader would do. He made a plan. He said, I want to know where the weak spots are. I want to know how we're going to do this. I need to know what the best plan of attack is. And if you're going to solve this out, you need to think it through. I mean, look, if you have problems with your family, then look, chances are tonight or tomorrow, what's going to happen? You're going to have a problem. Someone start yelling at somebody, throwing dishes. You know, your dad's going to get upset. Your mom's going to start screaming. They're going to start talking about your grades. Look. You know what's going to happen, right? So you're going to be like, mom is going to get mad at me again. Or you could say, look, God, I need this to stop. This is what we always argue about. So God, how can we fix this? I know tomorrow she's going to yell at me because this is coming. She's going to find this out. So God, how am I going to respond? And all of a sudden, you begin to spy out the land. See, you go with faith where your feet have not yet gone. You see, this is why me and you need to pray. See, praying isn't about convincing God that you need stuff. That's not what prayer is. It's not convincing God that you need more stuff or better stuff or bigger stuff or you need to be this. No, that's not what prayer is. Prayer is taking your heart on a walk with God to the place that your faith needs to reach. You see, what happens is this. I know that was pretty good. See, now all of a sudden what happens is, see, a lot of times prayer isn't to convince God. It's to convince you of what God already knows. Right? See, what happens is this, save it up, it's going to get a little bit better. This is what happens is, I don't know why I'm sticking with this family thing, but let's just say it's your family. When you begin to pray, talk out loud to God at your backyard, that's what I do, drive my neighbors crazy. You go pray in your bed, in the shower, underneath your pillow, whatever you got to do, and you begin to talk to God. God, I know my parents are going to get mad at me, but God, I need you to give me strength, give me wisdom, God. And all of a sudden, you begin to talk this out, and you go there. And God, I just need you to put peace in my family's life. God, I just need you. God, I really, really need you right now to help me understand my mom's heart. All of a sudden, you're beginning to say things and thinking it through out loud of the places you need to go, the thoughts you need to think. And all of a sudden, you begin to, prayer activates your mind to get in connection with your heart that speaks through your spirit to the heart of God. And all of a sudden, your whole person begins to go places that one day, within hours, minutes, days, weeks, years, all of a sudden, it begins to happen. And you're already ready to arrive there in real life. It's almost as if your prayers create a map of the way your life ought to go. So when you see those turns and bends, you make a plan. That's what the spies did. They had never been to Jericho. So they sent two people out to make a map, to find out where the places are, to see what the atmosphere is like. They went places that they had not been before, so they knew how to walk when they got there. That's what prayer is. It's preparing your heart to walk places you have not been yet. And see, that's what happens. When people don't pray and they just do stuff, they get surprised, they get frustrated. Oh, it's not supposed to happen like this. Really, how was it supposed to happen? You tell me how it was supposed to happen. You can't if you haven't been praying or thinking, making a plan about it. That's why you got to make a plan and you got to work a plan. Hey, look, Some people, they like to do things all willy-nilly. That's right, I said willy-nilly. Just fly by the seat of your pants. Just we'll figure it out when we get there. Yeah, tell me how that turns out. All right, tell me how it turns out. Let me know. Because a lot of people like to blame unpreparedness on faith. Oh, I'm just going to believe God. Really? Really? You don't even know what you believe in God for. So, he knows. A real Christian will use two words. Faith, which is important, and wisdom. Faith and wisdom. That's like right shoe, left shoe. Some people only walk around with one shoe. If you saw somebody walking around the mall with one shoe trying to talk to you, you'd go the other way because they're crazy. Crazy. See, you need to wear both. You need to wear both wisdom and faith in your life. Wisdom makes a plan, and faith trusts God to see that plan through. Otherwise, you're having blind faith, and God's never called you or me to ever walk with blind faith. Blind faith is another word for stupidity. Just dressed up real spiritual light. So you got to think this through. Joshua sent out spies, and they went out, and they found these things, and they saw exactly what. And you know what? What they found there is that they found that they had help. See, when it comes to you living life, when it comes to you overcoming the challenges, you cannot do it alone. You cannot. Look, nowhere in the Bible did God ever say it's okay to go alone. Adam and Eve. Adam was the perfect man. Brother ripped, got a six-pack, looking good. He got a job. He had a place to live, the nicest place. He had a whole garden to live in. Dude was perfect. You couldn't find something wrong with him if you tried. Ladies, could you imagine that? Finding a man that you cannot complain about no matter how hard you tried. Woke up in the morning, his hair was perfect. Work all day in the garden, never stink. Morning breath, what's that? Wasn't invented yet. And he loved cats. I know. But not like weird or anything like that. World's first cat man. No. But God saw that there was something wrong with him. He was alone. Even the perfect person is still imperfect if they try to go it alone. Dang, that's pretty crazy. Anytime you try to say, I'm just going to figure it out by myself, wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Don't do that. Don't play that game. When people do things by themselves, they get in trouble. They do stupid things. Stupid things. Because they convince themselves that they're not stupid. And there's nobody to say, hey, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know. Maybe you should think that through again. No. I know that because that's what I've done before. I like to do things on my own. If you want a job done, you do it yourself, right? If I want to get the job done right, I will do it myself. No, that's wrong. The whole premise of the New Testament is based off of this word called discipleship. We've all heard the word discipleship before, right? Right? If you have been in church, discipleship. Discipleship means you don't do it alone. Right? Even Jesus never did it alone. He had people around him the entire time. You need people to give you good advice. Not stupid people, not ridiculous people. I mean, look, the Bible begins to talk, and here these spies are, and they're getting caught, they're getting in trouble. The royal army in Jericho, they begin to put hits out on them. The assassins are coming out, and they're chasing them down. There's like this huge chase scene going on throughout the city, and they're running and knocking over pots and bowls and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, there they are here at this woman Rahab's house, a very unlikely house, a prostitute's house. That's for a different message. But it goes here in Joshua 2, verse 12. It says this. It says, now then, the woman here, the Rahab is saying, now then, swear to me by the Lord, your God, that I have dealt kindly with you, that I'm helping you out, and that you will deal kindly with my father's house. Give me a sign that you will save alive. You will save and rescue my father and mother's life, my brothers and sisters. Save all the people that belong to me. Deliver our lives from death. So the men, the two spies said, look, our life for yours, even to the death. Ooh. If you don't tell anybody about this business, of our spying, then when the Lord gives us this land, we will deal kindly and faithfully for you. So what happened then? She let them down by a rope through her window, for her house was built into the city wall. She lived in that wall. She said, go into the hills. Otherwise, these pursuers, these men, they're going to follow you and encounter you. I want you to hide there 3 days until they've returned. Afterwards, go your way. See, the spies needed help from the most unlikely of places. They needed help. They can't do it on their own. Could not. They couldn't win this war on their own. So anytime that you're having a challenge or you're having a hard time, you need to find somebody. If your friends, if they know the Lord, find them. But see, it, not just that. You need to find several different kinds of people in your life. You, if you only get advice from your friends, you're shortchanging yourself. You're shortchanging yourself. You need somebody that's been there, done that. You need a war veteran to train you. You know, you get advice from your friends, but then run it by your mom. Run it by a grandpa. Run it by one of the pastors. Run it by a youth worker. Run it by somebody that's done this for God before. And see, you know, you've been there. You've done that. You've been alive a long time. You're old, gray, and wrinkly. What? How did you get those wrinkles? Right? I mean, old people are alive because nobody killed them yet. Right? Because they've survived. Right? So technically, they have been around longer than you. So they have lived longer than you have. They've seen more things. So there's some circumstances in life. You need to find the baldest or the most gray-headed person that you know and say, how did you do it? And that's what you and I need to do. When I need help, when I need answers that I don't know the answers to, I find and I talk to people that have done more than I have. They went to this woman that knew the city in and out. She knew all the business because that's where all the business was. And they went to her. They found her. She helped them. And she helped them overcome this challenge. Proverbs 24, verse 6, just put it up there real quick. It says this, Proverbs 24, verse 6. Don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. Don't go to war. Don't face a challenge without wise guidance. Victory depends on many advisors. If you only get advice from your friends, you're shortchanging yourself. Just like if you only get advice from old people, you're shortchanging yourself. You need many advisors. Look, I know you and your parents, maybe you and your family don't always see eye to eye. But learn something from them. Even if it's learning what not to do, you need advisors. You need people in your life because you cannot and should not do this alone. Find the right people and you'll be good. See, if you want to overcome the challenge in your life, you have to think this through. Make a plan, work a plan. Don't do it alone because even the perfect man could not do it alone. And then you have to take one step at a time. I love this saying. I say it all the time. There's only one way to eat an elephant. You ever thought of it before? Eating an elephant? You gotta be nasty. Probably be really gamey and chewy. There's only one way to eat an elephant, and that's one bite at a time. That's right, one bite at a time. One toe right there. Next toe right there. The little lip of his trunk. Now the other lip. That's what you do, just work your way from trunk to tail. That's only way to eat an elephant. Because you can't eat it. You can't eat it. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been one of those sick, nasty people that look up those pictures on the internet about, about like that snake that tried to eat that alligator. And it was like, kaboom, nasty. I didn't see it, but I heard stories about it. It was too big. And you know, a snake only eats things with one bite, one big bite. Oh, dislocates its jaw, chank, chank, swallows it. And it like scratches stuff out of his tummy. It's disgusting. Totally disgusting. Don't look it up. Don't look it up. Because some things you can never unsee.
Never.
And then you'll have me praying for you next week. It's the only way. I love it. Because the whole promised land was theirs. But they didn't go crazy and just say, let's just attack. And they start raiding the entire country. No, no, no. They went city by 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 city. That's it. Joshua 7, just a couple pages. Joshua 7, 2. Bam. It's amazingly easy to miss. Joshua sent men from Jericho. Next town, Ai. Bam, right there. Right there in the Bible. One city at a time. Pastor, that's ridiculous. That's what it means. They were at one place, they beat it, and they went to the next one. When they were done with the job, they started another job. Sometimes all you can begin to do is see all your problems. I mean, have you ever just, I don't know if you're anything like me, but have you ever just sat down, or maybe even you're taking a shower, or you're just like in bed, and you're like staring at the ceiling, and you just think of everything that's going wrong. And you're just like, how am I going to even do this? I don't even know where to start. You're like, this person doesn't like me, and this person doesn't like me, and this is going wrong. I didn't even do my homework tonight. Prom is next week. I have no money. I haven't got any acceptance letters from college. I mean, you just begin to, it's like the list just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's like, it's just, and as soon as you get to the end of the list, you just remember something else. Oh, yeah. And then this happened too. And it just gets so overwhelming because you look at everything at one time. See, God's given you victory over all the list of the screw-ups in your life. But he doesn't expect you to overcome them all at one time. No, no, just start at number one. What's happening next? All right, let's deal with that. Everything else is just going to have to wait. Just going to have to wait. Put it off for tomorrow. But just do one thing. See, maybe you're like my wife in this place. My wife loves checklists. Loves checklists. Checklist queen. Cha-ching, I know because she gives them to me. I need you to do this, 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 this. Oh, and this. And if you're anything like that, limit it. I'm doing three things today. And number four, you can get in line because I ain't doing you till later. Three things. Do three things. Even first thing, go to the bathroom. Cha-ching, done. I handled that. Bam. Sometimes you need easy problems like that to test off. Handled that. See, and you just do one step at a time. Matthew 6:31. You got to turn there because we're running out of time. Matthew 6:31. Bible says this. Matthew 6:31. Matthew 6:31. Matthew 6. I'm just going to turn there then, okay? Oh, they got it. Matthew 6:31. Jesus says. Come on. If Jesus says it, you got to get it. Don't worry about these things. Don't worry saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? See, even Jesus understands you wake up and you don't even know what to wear. You have a whole closet full of clothes. I just don't have anything to wear. Five pair of Jordans. Which one? The blue ones or the black ones or the pink ones? I'll go with the flip-flops. Okay, so these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows your needs. Next verse. Bam. Seek the kingdom of God. Above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Next verse. Check this out. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough today. What do you say? What do you say? One day at a time. One day. Look at somebody and say, one day at a time. Look at the person and say, fool. That's right. One thing at a time. One day at a time. One day at a time. One city at a time. Not everything. That's how you get in trouble. That's World War II right there. That's Germany's first problem. Open up the Western Front. Bam. If that doesn't mean anything to you, don't worry about it. You can't beat Russia in a land war. You kind of want to be hard to beat them at a sea war too, but that's not the point. Does anybody play Risk in here? Anybody play the game of Risk? Thank you. You cannot win by trying to take Asia first. always Australia, maybe South America. If you don't get that either, dang, we got to talk. We got to talk. And lastly, done. Last point. Dang, Pastor Rich, you got 4 points tonight. I hope you're taking notes. If not, you need to. You got a phone, just type it in. Think it through. Make a plan, work a plan. Don't do it alone, because even the perfect man couldn't do it alone. Take it one day at a time, one problem at a time, one challenge at a time. Why? Because the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. And lastly is this. Don't break your faith. You can break anything, just not your faith. See, the crazy thing is this, is the first battle was this city called Jericho. And it was like the odds were against them. The walls were thick. The people were just, they were warriors. It was the whole nine yards. And then they beat them. And it was like miraculous. The walls fell down. It should not have happened that way. Literally should not have happened that way. But it did. And then the next city on the to-do list was this little city of Ai. Come on. Spelled Ai. How hard is this, right? The city of Ai. They do everything the same. They prepare everybody. What do? They send out spies. They send out spies. What do? And they make a plan. They work a plan. And they're only fighting this little city. They're taking it one day. They're doing everything right. Everything right. And you know what happens? They lose. They lose. Wait a minute, Pastor Richard. I thought you said if I do these things, I'll conquer my challenges. Yeah, but you got to get number four right too. See, what had happened was this, is they did everything naturally right, but they did everything spiritually wrong. See, with Jericho, they had faith. With Jericho, they listened to what God said. But with Ai, they got a little lot. You know, they begin to, there was this dude named Achan, which is funny because it's like a pain in my back. Oh, I'm Achan. When I read this stuff, I think about when I read the Bible. I thought, oh, that's so funny, God. I don't think you really meant that. But in English, it means, anyway, as that's not really, whatever. I thought it was funny. Sorry. The things Pastor Richard thinks about. Sorry. I'm the best you got here. So all of a sudden, Ai comes up. And it's just this little tiny town, little tiny easy. So they only send half the troops in. Like, send the guys on the bench. They can handle this one. And they get their butts handed to them. If I can say that in church, I just did. And they lose miserably. Well, it turns out that this man Achan did the exact opposite of what God told him to do. God said to Jericho, burn it, set it on fire. Don't take anything from there. Because usually, you destroy a city, you take all the goods, right? It's like the LA riots. You just bust windows and take TVs. And this is, God's like, don't take anything. Leave the gold. Leave all the statues. Don't take anything for yourself. Because it's unholy. It's ungodly. Don't do it. Well, this guy Achan thinks, nobody's going to miss. It's just one little thing. Nobody's going to miss it. I'm sure everybody else is doing it. I'll just hide it. Nobody will notice. Back pocket. Well, anyway, he had broken God's rule. He did the exact opposite of what God told him to do. So see, everything naturally they set up the right way, but spiritually they did everything backwards. It's funny that you can even, in the natural, you can win, but in the spiritual, you can lose. See, some people have it all set up. They got the money, they got the cars, they got the girls or the guys, they got the fame, they got the records, they got the albums, they got the Fortune 500 business, the suits, the ties, they got the dresses, they got, you know, if they were born jacked up, they get surgery and then they look all nice. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is all these things. They have it all, but they got nothing. That's where they were after Jericho. They had it all. But they really had nothing. And because of that, they went to this next place and they failed. Joshua 7, verse 10. Joshua 7, verse 10. Let me just read this to you and then we'll be done. Joshua 7, 10, the Bible says this. In the ESV, it says, Lord said to Joshua, get up, get up, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They've transgressed, they've cut and broken my covenant that I commanded them. They've taken some of the devoted things. They've stolen and they lied and they put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel, they cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs because they have become devoted for destruction. I'm going to be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up. Get up. And God just begins to kind of lay into them and says, guys, why did you do this? They'd done everything right. They made a plan. They got the right advice. They sent the spies. They did it. They did everything except for the matter of the heart. Last Psalm 127, verse 1. If you guys have it. If you guys have it, go put up there. Is it verse 1? Anyway. Well, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders build it in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders, they build it in vain. See, you can build the most beautiful life. You can be nice and friendly and happy, and you can be you can have all these things, but unless you have the part of your heart right with God, then everything else is going to never add up. And that's why you have some of the most successful people take their own lives. Why? Because nothing else matters except for the hole inside their heart being filled. See, even if they had won that battle against AI, they still would have lost because their hearts would have been wrong before God, and it wouldn't have worked. It may have worked this time or the next time, but not the time after. It's just a matter of time before their world fell apart because they had broken their faith with God. See, the perfect plan fails when you cut God out of the equation. But you know what the crazy part is? Is even a bad plan can work out perfectly fine if God is in the equation, right? Even a bad plan can work. See, so some of you guys in this place, you get so worried, what if I make the wrong decision? Should I do this or should I do that? What if I do this? But wait, what if I do this and it's wrong? And then everything fails in my life. What if I choose the wrong person? What if I choose the wrong school? What if I choose the wrong direction? What if I make a right when I should make a left? Because if you're in the will of God, listen to me, because some of you guys are worry warts. You guys just worry about everything. Listen, even if you make the wrong decision, God can take it and he can make it right. Right? Because God turns all things around for good unless you don't have God. Because then even the good becomes bad. Bam. Done. If you guys got something from God today, let's give him praise.